Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 15 of Women in Retail Talks. I'm Melissa Campanelli. I'm the co-founder of Women in Retail Leadership Circle. And today I'm joined by Julia Landauer, a multiple-time championship-winning race car driver who's currently racing in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series. But in addition to racing every season since she was 10, Julia graduated from Stanford in 2014, and she earned her Bachelor of Science in Science, Technology, and Society, and is also a sought-after speaker around advocating for STEM education, women's empowerment, and for following your dreams and overcoming fear despite your hurdles. Excuse me. So it's so great to meet you today, Julia. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Thank you for having me on the show. This should be fun.
Awesome. And I'm going to jump right in into some questions. And one thing I wanted to focus on was fear, but we'll get to that. Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? How did you end up in the male-dominated world of racing?
Yeah, you bet. You know, when I was around 10 years old, my parents were looking for an activity that me, my sister, and my brother could all do together, you know, as a family on the weekends. And then they also really wanted their girls to compete head-to-head with the boys. So feeling that sports were very important, racing is really one of the only co-ed sports. So they got us into it, and I fell in love with it and never looked back.
It is a co-ed sport, if you think about it. It's not like there's a men's racing team and a women's racing team. Okay, so also I know that you do a lot of motivational speaking right now. So how did that come about?
Yeah, you know, motivational speaking was something that I realized I've been doing for a little while. You know, I volunteered my time when I started college, going around to various nonprofits and charities, especially around, you know, empowering younger girls and trying to make social change in communities, and just volunteered my time to speak with them. So that got me some practice. And then when I was a senior in college, the people who put on the TEDx Stanford event asked if I was interested in giving, you know, a short 10-minute TEDx talk. And I thought it was a wonderful opportunity, and put together a discussion about how stereotypes hold women back and how I have learned through racing to overcome them. So I went on stage and did that, and that really catapulted my speaking career. And, you know, I've made longer 45-minute keynotes around women's empowerment, around tips for success, and now around fear and how we use fear to our advantage.
Great. Excellent. I didn't realize TED had a program in, you know, universities in Stanford. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So as we talked about a couple of times, I wanted to get into a little bit on fear. So I don't know how you can describe what it is, kind of, and how to discuss it or how to overcome it. I'm sorry. I mean, I saw one presentation where you discussed the three types of fear. So maybe we can go over that.
Yeah, there are, you know, I've done a lot of research and put quite a bit of time into figuring out how, you know, people use fear, because one question that I get a lot with racing is, aren't you scared? You know, mm-hmm. Aren't you scared of crashing? Aren't you scared of going fast? And the answer is yes. You know, racing can be terrifying, but so are so many things in life that are worthwhile and worth pursuing. So I started doing a bunch of research, and there are many different types of fear, but I like to focus on, you know, fear that comes from pressure or pressure-induced fear, like if you're an athlete on a sport or if you're about to give a presentation, you know, and then fear of failure. That's something that we all fear. If we want to put in time and effort into a project, we want it to succeed. And then the last one is, you know, fear of the unknown, and that's something that plagues us all. And so I've done some work and some research into figuring out what that looks like, how it manifests itself in us, and then what we can do to overcome it.
Great. So is there anything out of those fears that you could talk about in terms of how they relate to women? Do women have a certain, you know, sort of tendency for one of them? Or I don't know if you have any thoughts around that.
Yeah, you know, I don't sort of think that, you know, women of those three, I don't think that one necessarily plagues women more than men. But, you know, one fear that I didn't mention that is very prominent, as it should be, is, you know, the fear of getting paid less in our jobs. It's still the case that women make less than men for doing the same work, and that is a fear that's very real, and so that can that can manifest itself in not, you know, going after a promotion, not going after a type of job that you want, because you might feel like you'll overwork and not, you know, get compensated appropriately for it. And that's where, you know, really preparing yourself, doing the homework and getting leverage to really try and figure out how you can bring the most to the table and get what you need. You know, companies like Glassdoor, which are online and give, you know, they survey people in various jobs and various positions, and they aggregate data to know who gets paid what at these jobs, you know, on average. So you can go in with that kind of data and just really doing a lot of homework and preparation, because the more prepared you are and the more comfortable you are discussing what you want, what you need, or why you deserve it, the more confident you're going to sound and more likely to get what you're asking for.
Yeah, definitely. I think another fear around that with asking for raises is that you're going to get fired or lose your job if you ask for it. So, you know.
Right, exactly. And most likely that's not going to happen. Right. Most likely the worst case scenario is going to be no. And that's another thing with fear. You know, if you're worried about something, you know, outline the worst case scenarios and try to rationalize, okay, is this likely to happen? Is this not likely to happen? How can I be prepared if it does? Again, that being comfortable, that feeling like you have a grasp of the various potential outcomes is very empowering.
Definitely. So is there anything about fear, though, that you can, I think we kind of discussed that just now, but maybe if there's any ways to fix our fear response and turn it into something positive?
Yeah, definitely. And this is where, you know, it's really important to be introspective about, you know, recognizing how your body reacts to fear. For me, before races, it's about, you know, feeling butterflies in my stomach. I definitely feel physical knots. And so something that I do is sprint before every race to expel the energy. You know, if I have an important call coming up, or you know, a high intensity discussion for a sponsorship or business relationships and other things like that, you know, if I can't go running, I will do push-ups again to expel that energy. So recognizing that, but then also doing deep breathing or meditation. The military uses a method called square breathing, which is where you breathe in for 4 seconds, you hold it for 4 seconds, you breathe out for 4 seconds, and you hold that for 4 seconds. And it really just brings your heart rate back to a lower beats per minute. And that really helps bring you back to a more centered, balanced state, which is where we all thrive in terms of operating. If we're scared and have a high heart rate and are feeling tense or jittery or something, then we're not gonna thrive.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's great to give us, you know, to give our listeners some sort of specifics that they can do. And I've never heard of that type of breathing before. I've heard of like meditation and thing, but that's a great handy sort of thing people can do quickly, you know.
Yeah, and it's different for everyone, so it's worth experimenting with what works for you.
Great. So let's talk about personal stories that you might have about fear. Like have you been able to do that in such a way where you turn fear into motivation?
Yeah. And part of what I was mentioning before with, you know, feeling nervous right before a race. It's high pressure. You know, I only have 14 races per year this year, and there's a lot on the line and a lot to gain and potentially stuff to lose. And so it's very scary. And when you go on a bigger racetrack where you're going faster, going into that corner for the first time at speed is terrifying. And so really the way that I prepare as much as I can is to watch videos beforehand. Again, that goes back to the preparation mm-hmm. before you approach fear. Watch videos so I know what the proper line is supposed to be. And then, you know, remember that I do this because I love racing and I love going fast, and remembering the big picture and the goal and the reason for why you're doing what you're doing can help put that fear in perspective, which is really important. And then I sprint. As I said, I really need to expel energy because I know that that helps bring me back to a calmer state, but it still keeps the adrenaline high enough that I'm on edge enough to where I know that I perform really, really well.
Yep, great. Yeah, those are great examples, and I'm sure people can relate to that in the business sense. Like perhaps they could, practice their presentation in front of someone.
You bet. Yeah, that's a great point. And with presentations, especially, you know, a lot of it is mindset, and how you talk to yourself before you go and give that presentation. You know, amp yourself up. You're your biggest cheerleader. You can't really depend on other people to do the cheering work for you. You have to be your biggest cheerleader, your harshest critic. And that really, you need to be able to find confidence in yourself to, you know, be able to pump yourself up. I think that's so, so important. And something that women in particular are not always encouraged to do, right? We're we are always taught to, you know, give credit elsewhere. You know, if we do well on a test, it's because we worked really hard. It's not because we're naturally smart. If you're, you know, or if our team did really well, a lot of times women will give credit elsewhere, even if they did a really good job. So it's just this systemic, you know, cultural pattern that women, you know, don't necessarily take credit for what they do. And that's something that I think we really have to work on doing more.
Completely. I completely agree. So I think that's all we have time for, but thank you so much, Julia. It was so great chatting with you, and I loved all of your great feedback and your information, and I'm sure our listeners will as well.
Thank you for having me. I hope it's helpful, and you know, I'm still learning too, right? But it's worth exploring more so we can figure out how we take the obstacles that we find in life, and fear is one that everyone faces, and you know, the more we can manipulate it and make it our own kind of power, the better off we will be.
Completely. Great. So for more information, please check out our podcast channel, Women in Retail Talks, which is on WIRLC.com. And just so that you know, Women in Retail Talks is also available on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Pinterest at WIR Leadership. So thanks. And I look forward to all of you joining us on the next episode of Women in Retail Talks. Thanks again, Julia. Bye-bye.